The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. I have a little exercise for you this morning, and I know you're going to love it because it involves audience participation. So the way this will work is I will make a series of statements, and you will raise your hand if the statement is true of you. And don't be shy, wave your hands in the air. You may end up raising your hand several times, and you're allowed to look around and see what other folks are doing. You might learn something interesting about your fellow parishioners. And just to be clear, there are no right answers or wrong ones. There are just answers. Okay? Ready? Statement one. My grandparents were Lutheran. Okay. Two. My parents were Lutheran. I was baptized in a Lutheran congregation. I was baptized here at First Lutheran. Just a couple of you there. I was baptized as a baby. I was baptized as an older adult or child. I am not baptized. I was raised in a different denomination and am here because I married a Lutheran. I was raised in a different denomination and am here because a friend or neighbor invited me. Okay. I didn't grow up in a church at all. I'm here because it's the closest congregation to my home. Well, we had a couple of those at 8 o'clock. I'm here because I always attend a Lutheran church no matter where I live. Okay. I'm here because I love the historic liturgy of the Lutheran church. I have no idea what the word liturgy means. Nobody wants to admit to that. I'm here because Lutheran theology is important to me. Okay. I'm here, even though I'm not sure I know much about Lutheran theology. I'm not sure I entirely know how I got here. Okay. Not that long ago, most people in most Lutheran churches on a Sunday morning would have responded to all of those statements the exact same way. It would have been true that their grandparents and parents were Lutheran. It would have been true that they were baptized as babies in a Lutheran congregation, and that wherever they lived, they attended the local Lutheran congregation. It would have been true that they were marinated in Lutheran theology, that after a lifetime of Lutheran Sunday church school, Luther League, anybody remember Luther League here? That was a little while ago. Lutheran Vacation Bible School and Lutheran confirmation classes. He knew where Lutherans came from and why, what our core beliefs are, how we approach biblical interpretation, what makes us the same and different from other Christian denominations. Not so long ago, there were so many Lutherans that we were even subdivided. I think I've mentioned a few times before that during seminary, I spent my internship year out in a small town in Nebraska in a Swedish Lutheran congregation. My parishioners were Jacobsons, Svensons, Larsons, and Lundquists. And we most definitely did not fraternize with the Norwegian Lutherans in town. I mean, really. We Lutherans, safe in our ethnic and cultural cliques, didn't have to do much to keep our Swedish or Norwegian or German Lutheran congregations, like the one my dad grew up in Steelton, going. We created new Lutherans the old-fashioned way. Anybody know what that is? By giving birth to them, yes. Generation after generation of Lutherans stayed in their hometowns as adults, married each other, raised their kids in the same church they grew up in. We weren't so mobile back then, moving there for school, moving there for a new job, moving there for a spouse's new job, moving there for retirement. If we did move there, wherever there was, it certainly never occurred to us not to be Lutheran. The world has changed. According to the authors of the recent book, The Great Dechurching, over the past 25 years, and that's not very long, 40 million Americans, 40 million have just stopped going to church. 40 million. That feels like a lot. Our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, has certainly felt the impact. We're predicted not to exist in another generation. There still will be Lutheran congregations left standing, and we plan and strategize here at First Lutheran to be one of them. The institution known as the ELCA simply won't be around. Lots of things are contributing to this downward trend. Technology is disconnecting people from one another, undermining the concept of in-person community. We are suspicious of authority after the Vietnam War, Watergate, Iran-Contra, the pedophilia scandals in the Roman Catholic Church, and there's all sorts of stuff to do on Sunday morning other than going to worship, including just sleeping in. COVID-19 pandemic has had an impact. Denominational loyalty isn't a thing. Folks don't want to commit to being a member of anything, including a congregation. We don't really have any control over any of that, do we? It pretty much is what it is. But there is something that we can do. We can be inspired by the events of a little over 500 years ago when a Catholic monk named Martin Luther saw a church in need of reformation. The church wasn't doing a good job of sharing the simple and yet life-changing truth of Jesus Christ. The truth which sets us free. The truth that we are loved, that we are accepted in spite of being unacceptable. The truth that we don't have to and can't ever earn our way up to God by being really, really good, by doing enough penance for our sins, by diligently and perfectly following the rules, as if we could ever do that anyway. Martin Luther believed that truth, the truth of Jesus Christ, was being obscured in many ways, by inaccessible language, by sinful practices, by a church institution hungry for power and inclined toward self-preservation. The church in our day and age has different ways of obscuring the truth of Jesus Christ. Most of them are unintentional, I think. We toss around churchy code words all the time, like liturgy and narthex and lectionary and Eucharist and sacrament, all of which are important and meaningful words. We don't realize that to some folks, we sound like a foreign language. We have all these things. We do so routinely and almost mindlessly that we forget that someone new to worship here, maybe someone new to Christian worship period, may be completely baffled when all of a sudden everyone in the room is fussing with those thingies down at our feet that they have no idea are called kneelers, let alone that they're supposed to kneel on them. We stand up and sit down a lot. We chant ancient poems using something called a psalm tone. We come forward where someone gives us a wafer and pours wine into a glass. We put stuff in a wooden box back there. We insiders know it's how we collect offerings these days, but if you were new to the proceedings, you might wonder. The work of reformation that lies before us in the year 2023 and beyond is not only for us Lutherans to become brave enough to actually invite people to worship, and yes, indeedy, you need to do that, but also to make sure that no one is ever embarrassed when they are here. If they don't know what they're doing, if they have a lot to learn, if somehow they've gotten to be 65 years old without having stepped foot in a church before. If they ask what sound like strange questions to our ears. If their kids haven't heard all the Bible stories our kids grew up with. For no matter whether we are an eighth generation Lutheran or someone who doesn't yet know what the heck a Lutheran is, we all need the truth offered here. The truth Martin Luther fought to reclaim and speak once again, the truth that flows in the waters of that baptismal font and the truth that we feast on at that table. The truth of Jesus Christ, that God loves us. Loves us, loves each and every one of us, always and forever. Amen.